But James Corbett is an independent journalist, has been living and working in Japan since 2004. He's been writing and producing the Corbett Report. That's people really have found to be extremely informative and incisive. An online multimedia news information source. His forthcoming book, Reportage, Essays on the New World Order, will be available very soon. CorbettReport.com is his website. He's also got another announcement of why he wasn't in Japan that he's going to make on air. We appreciate him being a tough guy with a stiff upper lip, chin up, joining us. And everybody should pray for James Corbett and his family. James, first, because you said you wanted to make the announcement, why you weren't in Japan when this happened, joining us via video Skype back in Japan. You got back yesterday. And then let's get into what you're seeing on the ground there.
Right. Well, as I told my listeners just before I went on my little hiatus, unfortunately, I was dealing with the loss of my mother, and I was going back to Canada for her funeral. And incredibly enough, it was just the day after the earthquake that I actually left Japan to go back to Canada, and I spent over a week there, and I've just gotten back to Japan. So during that time, I obviously wasn't following the news very carefully, so you were covering things. I've been catching up over the last couple of days. You were covering things excellently and are probably better informed about this than I am, but I've gotten back, and I'm scrambling to catch up, and so now I'm back, and I'm working on the Corbett Report again and conducting interviews and writing articles. And
well, we're sorry for your loss, but now, James, you were there for the earthquake. Tell us where you are located in Japan.
So I am on the western side of the main island of Honshu, and it's about, I would say, 700 kilometers, that's about 400 miles from my American friends, southwest of Fukushima. So it's quite a ways away, and obviously out here we didn't feel a thing. The first I ever heard of the earthquake was when I was online, you know, looking at news. So I didn't feel a thing. There was no tsunami here. It was just the images coming in, and I was watching them like everybody else. And at the time, of course, I was just preparing to go back to Canada, so I wasn't thinking about the effects of the tsunami or the lasting effects, but obviously we're seeing that now. But as you may know, I'm an English teacher here in Japan. I teach at elementary schools and junior high schools, and today was the elementary school graduation ceremony because the school year ends here in March rather than in July like back home. So people were having the graduation ceremony, and I was there watching it, and we had a moment of silence at the beginning of it for the victims of the earthquake and the tsunami, and it was pretty powerful. During that moment of silence, I was thinking about an image that I saw in the newspaper this morning, and I'll hold it up for the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers out there. For radio listeners, I'll describe it. It's basically someone kneeling in front of a twisted wreck of metal and just remains. And this is actually a bus that was transporting kindergarten children who were being transported away during the earthquake. And they were trying to get to high ground, and the tsunami came. And it took over the bus. It flipped it around. It landed on its side in a pool of gasoline that was leaking from a gas station, and the gasoline ignited. And those children end up as charred cinders. And these types of stories are coming out absolutely every single day, and we're just seeing more and more horrific scenes from what the devastation that took place. Over 24,000 now dead and missing. So just indescribable scenes coming out of that part of Japan. And obviously I'm not there, but obviously everyone is, thoughts and prayers are with those people right now, including myself. And now as we speak, of course, the black smoke is belching out of reactors 2 and 3 with their deadly payload of iodine-131 and cesium-234 and cesium-237. And as you just mentioned, reactor 2 is now spurting out neutron beams. So it's a horrific situation, and it's only getting worse.
What do you think of Ann Coulter writing articles and going on TV with a straight face and saying this is actually going to keep us all from getting cancer and it's nutritious? We have called her booking agent and said we're going to pay the fee, which is a lot of money, and the airline tickets, everything, and they get very angry with us. I demand she go to Fukushima, and if it's so good, and drink water out of that reactor.
There is just no accounting for that ghoul and the despicable comments that she's making. And I really hope that a year or two from now, when there are little children dying of leukemia out there, I really hope that she looks in the mirror and realizes that she has sold her soul to go and just pimp these ideas for these corporations to which she's enslaved to. It's just despicable and it's unthinkable. And I'm glad at least that no one's listening to the things that she has to say.
Well, it's insane. I mean, I wonder if she actually believes it, because it is insane.
It's unthinkable.
She talked about the people in Japan. She said it's good for them.
Well, I hope she'll come. I hope she'll come, and I'll be here to welcome her and you know, lead her to the site so she can go and experience it for herself.
Well, I don't want you to do that. We know it's deadly. And as the plant head said last Friday, breaking down and crying, saying he couldn't cover up anymore, he said this is lethal. This is going to kill people. And we have gotten reports of people in and around the area with red faces vomiting. But the Japanese are so stoic, a lot of them are still following orders. Bloomberg reports Fukushima engineer says he helped cover up flaw at Daiichi number reactor 4. That's Bloomberg. That came out last night. One of the reactors at the crippled Fukushima nuclear plant may have been relying on flawed steel to hold the radiation in its core, according to an engineer who helped build its containment vessel 4 decades ago. And I don't want to pronounce his name wrong, but it's the article's up there on Bloomberg. You've lived in Japan now for 8-9 years, so you could probably pronounce it. But dealing with this, are the Japanese people buying into the propaganda? Because first they said no problem. Now they admit 1,600 times safe levels of radiation up to 20 kilometers away, most of it going out to sea towards the U.S. Iceland reporting they picked up radiation yesterday that's already gone over North America towards Europe. I mean, what are the Japanese saying and doing here? Does it concern them that the U.S. military is talking about forced evacuations of Americans because it's so radioactive?
Well, the sense here is that I think the Japanese people are smarter than that, and they know not to trust the government and TEPCO on things like these, because, of course, we've seen all sorts of nuclear disasters here, from the Tokaimura incident in 1999, which was the Tokyo Electric Power Company, and it was they lied over and over and over again about the extent of that disaster, and people know that that it is a cover-up. But again, it's difficult to understand unless you've been here and know the culture. But the people here are just not the type that are going to rise up and revolt anytime soon. And in some ways that's a blessing. In some ways it's a curse.
Yeah, because what good would it do now? I mean, I just think the executives that stored 600,000 plus fuel rods on top of reactors, they need to do what China does. They need to have trials. I know Japan. Does Japan have the death penalty?
Yes, it does.
It's lethal injection, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think there needs to be some people getting executed over this. And then next time in America, in Europe, in Japan, these executives will think twice. I mean, they should be executed. I'm going to say it right now. When their own engineers are coming out and saying there were cover-ups and safety, execute them. It's that simple.
Well, I tell you what, Japan has a big, long history of leaders committing suicide when they've messed up in a big way. And this is a case where they've messed up in a big way. So who knows what will happen. But at any rate, the idea that the TEPCO and the government has been covering up what's going on and has not been releasing information and is trying to downplay this incident is despicable. And if the puppet, commonly known as President Obama, or more accurately, his string pullers, were at all serious about the idea of military-backed human intervention, they would have been out here deploying U.S. military assets to do the sarcophagus option and dropping cement on that site. You had an excellent article up yesterday from Hiroshi Takashi at Infowars.com, what they're covering up at Fukushima, that everybody needs to go and read, because he's shooting from the hip. And he is a nuclear expert who's basically saying that they're just ludicrous trying to downplay this. And the only real option left is to bury that place in cement and give up, because the idea that they're ever going to get these reactors going again is ludicrous.
Well, they continue to explode, they continue to smoke, they continue to belch out intensifying levels of radiation, and more here in the U.S., the NCAA March Madness and things, and the Libya thing is starting to eclipse this, with our media telling us that radiation is not a problem. The problem is, even when it comes in low levels, it comes in over and over again as the weeks draw on. It's the cumulative, same thing in Japan. First it was 25 times, then 100 times, then 200, then 400. Now it's 1,600 times. in these areas because it continues to fall on the ground and build up. That's the cumulative effect. That's what's so dangerous about a meltdown.
That's exactly right. It's not even the plume itself, which I hate to say this, but luckily for me, where I am, it's heading east, which is horrible for everyone in North America, obviously. But it's not even the plume itself. It's just the fallout that's coming out around that plant is going to be in the soil for thousands of years, as we know, well, billions, really, the half-life of some of these elements. And it's going to contaminate the food supply. It already is. And the wastewater from these reactors are coming out straight into the Pacific.
Stay there. Stay there, James Corbett, Corbett Report. I'm Alex Jones. Okay, I want to go to Kevin, Scott, William, and many others, first-time callers that are patiently holding. James Corbett will be with us 20 minutes into the next hour. We got Aaron Deitch joining us as well on HARP. I want to announce the answer to 1984-1776 winners. I'll do that today, but I'm going to play some of them tomorrow and spend more time on it. Biggest response ever, over 1,500 videos we've counted up that were sent in. All of you are huge winners in the fight against the globalist. We first announced that we were going to do this when the TSA announced cash prizes for TSA fear-mongering videos in Walmart and in a total 9,000 locations, not just Walmarts, 846 Walmarts and 8,000-plus other facilities, Mall of America, big jumbotrons for videos produced by citizens. We've seen a lot of them. There's sniveling, bootlicking, sycophantic, fear-mongering police state videos. We have absolutely dominated them. 1,500 videos, some of them with 50,000, 100,000 views, totaled together. No way it's not a million or more views. Devastating attack on the globalist in the info war. Every permutation you can imagine of resistance. Very exciting. It was very hard to pick the winners, but we'll be doing that at the very end of the transmission today. I want to go to calls, but we're going to do that when we come back at the start of the next hour in T-minus 5 minutes with Kevin, Scott, William, and others. But other points, you know, because I'm asking some questions here. What do you want to talk? What's on your mind dealing with the devastation? I mean, obviously, these executives, government people that push this, they should all commit seppuku or be executed. I'm not a person that would ever commit suicide. I love life. But if I was one of these reactor people that had lied and done this, I don't know how I could live with myself. I mean, and I'm not here just calling for retribution. They need to be punished so that other executives around the world realize they're not going to get away with this stuff.
Absolutely. There is a precedent being set here, and let's hope it's not a precedent that these companies will get away with this with impunity as people start dropping like flies from this deadly radiation. But one thing that I want to ask is that I'm not here claiming to be an expert on what's going on or saying that I have all the answers, but I want to be an information resource for people, especially English speakers in Japan, to try to get information about what's going on. So I have put up an article today, resources related to the Fukushima nuclear crisis, that has some online resources, some radiation monitoring levels and things that people can use if they're here in Japan. Also some other details like the Xenon 133 plume spread that you posted on Prison Planet the other day. I've got that up there too. I want more resources, more online things that people can use to check radiation levels and things like that. So if people out there know of any, please contact me through the website. Also, if people have ideas for guests or for interviews for me to conduct, I'm all ears about that too. And another thing that I think is really important, I'd really like to direct people to some sort of organization that's providing aid and relief to the people over in the stricken area of northeastern Japan. But I just don't know what organization to recommend at this point. Obviously, we know about the Red Cross and the way that it's handled donations in the past. So I don't want to start recommending groups without knowing anything about them. So if people know of any groups or can direct me to some, I'll have to start interviewing representatives and seeing if there's a recommendation I can make, because obviously people there need our help.
Absolutely. I mean, at this point, it's important to give. The problem is the Red Cross, United Way have been caught giving to gun grabbers with the money and normally keeping about half of it. I think small churches, local community organizations, local prefecture governments, I think that's the ticket. And to just give. I know my wife's given some online, and she's tried to do her best. We're trying to get together a shipment. We held back some of the potassium iodate and didn't sell it, that we're trying to get shipped to Japan, but to the right group. We're in there trying to get that together. Perhaps you can recommend a group, because I know Japanese were ordering it from us, and I thought, wow, I don't want to have them order it from us. You know, we held back about 10% or so of it to try to ship to Japan, and then we get so busy, I floundered around finding where to ship that into Japan. Maybe I can ship it into you, and then you can get it to them.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Some of the key articles up at PrisonPlanet.com that we haven't even gotten to, I've kind of gotten acclimated to accept this myself, is radioactive blankets United States, radionuclei blankets United States, authorities insist levels are harmless, incredible German, French, and other forecast and live maps of some of the radioactive nuclei, xenon 133 and others, that have been detected. And while James Corbett's talking, joining us from Japan, if you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, we're going to be playing some of these videos, or just go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com and get the article, Radioactive Nuclei Blankets United States, Authorities Insist Levels Are Harmless, kind of giving us the Ann Coulter line. James, let's go ahead and take a few calls. Let's talk to Kevin in New York. Kevin, thanks for holding it on the air.
Hi there, Alex. I got to tell you, it's a pleasure to talk to you, a true patriot.
Well, I'm just trying to be a half-moral person. I mean, I don't really deserve any credit. I'm just doing my job here. But what's on your mind, sir?
Listen, I actually had something that I wanted to talk about, but during the first segment of your show, you mentioned something that I'd rather talk about instead, which is you had mentioned something about McCain there rallying together constitutional scholars in the midst of Bush era there, and it seems to me a year or two ago that Obama had said he was some kind of constitutional scholar, didn't he?
Yeah, he taught constitutional law at one of the universities. I forget which one. I think it's Harvard. Was it Yale? I think it went to Harvard. But the point is, they know that it's unconstitutional to have the UN give the order to attack Libya and then not even consult Congress. And then Congress lays down to it, which is even more incredible. Amazing precedents being set right now. And they're moving to have NATO actually command the whole operation with no consultation with Congress. James Corbett, what's your take on that?
Absolutely. Well, if President Obama is the example of constitutional scholars, I think we can do with less constitutional scholars. It's unthinkable the idea that the commander in chief, who is some sort of constitutional scholar, is waging this completely unconstitutional military action right now.
Well, why do we even have a Congress if they're just ignoring the law, the Constitution, and we're now taking direct orders? I mean, when the UN said attack, Obama said, you say jump, I say how high. I mean, it is completely groveling.
Why don't we just appoint him Lord Emperor and just have done with it?
Well, that's basically what he is Lord Emperor. I mean, what would happen in Japan if the emperor started telling the diet what to do? There would be a big scandal. I mean, the president has become an emperor who is a servant of the UN.
Absolutely. And that's one of the good things about the people here in Japan, is that they're not lying down to the emperor. They don't worship him anymore. And there's a lot of protest, even at school ceremonies and things, where people have to, look at the flag and sing the national anthem. There are still a lot of teachers that won't do it. So there are a lot of people who still realize what all of that means and are not happy with the idea of monarchy.
Yeah, swearing allegiance to Japan is not about swearing allegiance to some emperor.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. And I'm glad that the Japanese people don't buy into that.
Well, the Japanese elite have some of the, from the statistics I've seen, some of the biggest separation between the wealth of the population and the ultra rich. They already own the place. Why would they greedily build reactors on fault lines on the beach when they know tsunamis come in? And they acted surprised that a tsunami came with an earthquake.
Yeah, they're only acting surprised now because they've gotten caught in the midst of this terrible tragedy. But obviously, it's unthinkable the things that they're doing, and it's going to lead to more disasters.
When we come back, I want to get your take on the Japanese people, what you're hearing from them living in Japan all these years, where they want the future of nuclear power to go in Japan. And by the way, this Tokyo Power and Electric is set to build 3 to 4 reactors in South Texas on our hurricane-ravaged coastline. It's not as bad. We don't have a lot of earthquakes, so I guess it's better.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are back live, taking your phone calls, first-time callers, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. I'm going back to your calls, Scott, William, and others here in just a moment. But before we do that, we have James Corbett of the Corbett Report. He's also an English teacher there in Japan, lived there since 2004. He's there now. And what are Japanese saying about nuclear power and its future there?
Well, perhaps I'm a bit biased because I've interviewed a lot of people, anti-nuclear people, for my website. And I've been to Hiroshima a number of times. And obviously the Hiroshima Peace Institute and other places like that, people are obviously very much opposed to the idea of nuclear weapons, of course. And nuclear power is, of course, an adjunct of that. And we see that in things like the MOX fuel, which, of course, is just spent weapons-grade plutonium being used as fuel for these reactors. So there is a huge anti-nuclear movement here, and a very strong one, as you could imagine. And for anyone who hasn't visited the Hiroshima Peace Museum, it's a harrowing experience. And one of the most striking things to me, the one that really started to choke me up when I was there, is at the end of the museum, you've seen all of this devastation and carnage that was produced by the bombs. And then as you're leaving, there's a wall, and it's just a huge wall of just replicas of letters that the mayor of Hiroshima has sent. Every single time there has been a nuclear test, the mayor of Hiroshima sends a letter to that government, the president or prime minister of that country, and pleads with them to stop doing it. And it's just letter after letter after letter after letter, and you see hundreds of letters pleading for the end of the abolishment of nuclear weapons.
We're going to put
very
up on
powerful.
It is powerful. We're going to put. I've seen video of it. We're going to put up on screen a graph of nuclear tests, over 300 by the U.S. total, more than all other countries combined, and it was citizens protesting worldwide that stopped the above-ground test. And it shows the New World Order eugenicist mindset in that they would drop 2 A-bombs on Japan, and it came out later that they were unconditionally trying to surrender for at least a month in private, safe, face-saving communiques to the West. They'd been firebombed end-to-end with their paper and wood houses. The firebombing in one single day in one event a few months before Hiroshima and Nagasaki killed, the reports I saw, more than 300,000 people, actually more devastating than the 2 A-bombs they dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki that day. But they did that as a power play. And then the globalists, they didn't care about the Japanese, and they didn't care about Americans with 300 above-ground tests, more than 300, and above-ground tests all over the Pacific, radiating our own troops, everybody else. Those islands are still highly radioactive today. I mean, what type of New World Order person soils their own nest? I mean, what's wrong with these globalists? What's going on with them? Because they're hurting themselves as well.
They absolutely are. They're destroying the environment of the Earth itself, and it makes you wonder what their end game really is, because it can't involve living and functioning as a human being on this planet. They're obviously working towards their transhumanist ideal of merging with the machines and propagating out into space, and it just goes to show the absolutely self-destructive mindset of these people. And anyone who's siding with them really has to do a double check and look in the mirror and ask why they're saying things like radiation is good for you and other such despicable lies like that, as people start to die in increasing numbers as the soft kill gets ratcheted up into hard kill.
Well, very well said. And by the way, you just quoted some of the top transhumanists that we have in Endgame. It's all over their literature, by Nobel Prize winners, top scientists, about how anything we do is natural. If we destroy the Earth, that's evolution, because we were a species that developed. If we cease to be humans and merge with machines, which is their goal, and they exterminate the rest of us, that's a good thing. I've talked to people that work at IBM, and I say, well, what about their Human Genome Project, all this gene splicing? And they said, well, whatever humans do is natural because that's part of our mutation that we make this. And it's this argument where we're not supposed to have a say. And no, I do have a say. I'm not going to eat your GMO food. Stop pushing it on me. I don't want a nuclear reactor in my neighborhood. We have one in Austin that nobody knows about up at the J.J. Pickle Center. I've had enough of it.
Oh, stop being such a Luddite, Alex. You should just sit there and take it, and you should enjoy nourishing all these nourishing, wonderful GMOs and all this wonderful technology that's being unleashed on us right now and killing people in higher and higher numbers. This is what you want. This is what you'll get.
It certainly is. And you guys pulled up on Wikipedia the total number the other day. They're showing a map on screen of just 100 tests in the U.S. alone in Nevada. I know the total number is over 300 by the U.S. It's over 200 by all other nations, Russia, France, England. France did a lot. Just incredible. Scott in Idaho. Scott, you're on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, Alex.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much. First of all, I want to thank you and your activist listeners for your efforts in the battle for liberty and the cause of freedom. You've followed the encouragement of Thomas Jefferson, who encouraged us all to educate and inform the whole mass of the people, for they are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. Ecclesiastes tells us, Alex, that a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. And your heart has discerned both the time in which we live and the crisis that we currently all face. The word judgment in that verse comes from the Hebrew word krisis, from which we derive our English word crisis. It denotes an experience and time of crucial testing and has reference to the experience one undergoes out of which a decision or judgment is made. And we all now have a decision to make. Do we want to go along to get along? Do we want to go along with the insanity that has enveloped the planet?
With the TSA putting their hands down our pants, with the radiation, with the GMO, with the wars, with the UN ordering our country to attack and the Congress not involved, the globalists understand these natural laws, and they are testing us and setting these wicked, wicked precedents.
It's all coming down now, Alex, and you've been talking about it for many years. I think I've been listening to you and posting your articles since 1995, the New World Order agenda, the police state, endless undeclared wars, surveillance society, eugenics slash population reduction, economic collapse. It's all happening before our eyes right now.
And that's how history works, my brother, is that everything comes at once. And everything we've seen is only the birth pains, the buildup. Even what we're seeing now is only the buildup. I mean, it's incredible.
It's absolutely mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. I just want to touch on a couple things here. First of all, this is all happening to us individually, because we have not heeded the warnings of history. We have not heeded the words of our wise founding fathers, the words that were spoken at Nuremberg, and the words of Eisenhower, who warned us about the military-industrial complex. Abraham Lincoln warned us about the time in which we live in 1864. He said, and I quote, "I see in the near future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my country. Corporations have been enthroned, and an era of corruption in high places will follow, and the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until all wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the public is destroyed."
And that's a real quote on record. God bless you. I appreciate your call. And you can see Lincoln two-sided as a tyrant of federal power. But at the same time, he did issue our own currency and was killed over it and was his own man. And again, I'm a Southerner, and my ancestors were on the side of the South. It doesn't mean the North was right or the South was right. The British intelligence, this is mainline history, but it's taught in PhD level. It's mainline history books. This is not debatable. British intelligence came in and fomented the South, who was being wronged by tariffs that were unfairly placed on them and not the North. they were manipulated into that war, and the British put, what was it, 19,000 troops in up in Toronto, threatening to invade, trying to get the breakup of the country. And then the Tsar had to send his fleet in to threaten the British not to do it, and that caused a big rift that then caused the British intelligence to fund the communists going in you know, many years later in 1917 to overthrow their cousin, Tsar Nicholas. And it's when you know history, you understand all this. James, I'm going to keep you all the way to 30 after, but comments on what the caller Scott just said.
Well, I think he was absolutely right. This is a judgment. This is a crisis. And if there's ever a time for humanity to step up to the plate and take a swing at it, now is the time. And this isn't a game anymore. And there's no sitting on the sidelines. People better understand that the hour is near, and they better decide which side they're on. And I know which side I'm on.
They were neither hot nor cold, so I spit you out of my mouth. Folks, choose a side. Consciously choose what side you're on. Your gut tells you, and I know a lot of you got a tingle right now, and your gut and in the back, and the hair on the back of your neck is standing up, because deep down you know the choice is here. A spiritual choice. Doesn't mean we're all perfect, doesn't mean we have all the answers, but just like King David did a lot of bad things, at the end of the day, his heart was right. He was a good person who loved God and loved righteousness. Fake Christianity is about a bunch of judgments and a bunch of Pharisees picking on each other and saying, I'm better than you, and following a bunch of written law instead of getting the law written on your heart, okay? And number one, it's empathizing with the downtrodden. It's being against aggressive wars. It's being against poisoned food and water. It's being against things that are wicked. Evil is not sexy and cool. It's destructive. And I don't want to get into preacher mode here. It's just, folks, we are so wicked, myself included. We are all immersed in evil. What is evil? It's anti-life. It's that simple. Lovers of death, lovers of lies, lovers of corruption. You know, they were wise in their wickedness, but ignorant when it came to, you know, discernment. We're going to come back with James Corbett, talk to William and others.
Well, the unions are big businessmen, and they're going out like a dinosaur. Well, they used to grow food in Kansas, then they want to grow it on the moon and eat it raw. I can see the day coming when even your home gardener's going to be.
Look into HARP coming up in the next couple segments with Aaron Dykes. We've got some of that 2008 interview with the director of HARP. His phone wasn't the best. He was from an Air Force base that's in Massachusetts, remotely controlling HARP in Alaska. They had a PR guy, the colonel, on the whole time. The whole interview is up at Infowars.com. But Aaron's got a lot of audio clips, but I want to just play short parts of it and then go into mainstream news articles showing that we weren't being told the whole story by him. And the weather modification and the fact that Dubai and others are now using HARP-type arrays to manipulate the weather, they admit that that's what this does now. It's one of the things that it can do. James, I wanted to cram in a few final calls here for you with William, Pam, Barry, Luke, Nick. We'll get to all of them coming up, even if we have to go into overdrive today. But any other points you want to add from Japan?
Well, let me just confirm something that a caller was making on a point that a caller was making a couple of days ago on your program, that the school children here are still playing outside at recess, playing in the rain, and still being served milk every day at their
outside
school lunch.
Outside Fukushima, in the little town right there.
Right. Yeah. No, I was just reading reports about the graduation ceremonies they were having at evacuation centers there. And there's no reports whatsoever that any sort of precautions are being taken. And I can report that the kids are drinking their milk every day, just like always. And we know that milk is one of the key transmitters of the iodine-131 radioactivity. So and that was.
But you're a conspiracy theorist. And so were the scientists that made them ship milk in for 6 months after all over Europe from outside Europe. Because of the bioaccumulation, they're all evil conspiracy theorists too. Ann Coulter is right. That milk is good.
Yeah, absolutely. We should be drinking it up and loving it. But it's just mind-boggling to me that no one's even thought to point this out or to make any sort of fuss about it. So it's going on right now, and I can report that.
Well, we'll definitely get you to pop in later this week or next week as well as our guy on the ground there in Japan. Let's talk to William in Washington. William, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Alex, my family came here on the Mayflower, too, and we go all the way back. We had both sides on the Civil War, and I got three kids and two grandkids and as well. So, I'm watching what's going on here. I'm listening to your show, and I'm really concerned about this situation in Japan. I know that this radiation is cumulative and that it'll build up in our food chain. It'll build up in our bodies, organs, and in our children, and it'll be very nasty down the road. My question is, where's the United Nations on this? Where's our Congress on this? Where's our elected leaders on this? Why aren't they saying to Japan right now, you've got to do what they did with Chernobyl, throw massive amounts of sand and concrete and stop these leaks right now?
What do you think about that, James?
He's exactly right. Absolutely. Suddenly, when there is the need for this type of international agency, they're turning tail and running. And the IAEA chief just came out the other day and said, well, we're not an agency that will deal with crises like these. We're not designed to respond to
and
crises.
And by the way, the military is here to protect us, supposedly. They've got assets and NBC assets for nuclear, chemical, biological, all over the Pacific, all over South Korea, all over Japan. And notice, we're not getting any U.S. government readings, and they've got the specialized devices that pick up the exact isotopes and could be giving us pure forecast, but we're having to rely on private universities in France and England to do it.
Absolutely. It just gives the lie to the idea of humanitarian military intervention. If there was ever a time for it, it's here, it's now, but it's not happening. It's happening over in Libya, so we know what that's all about.
Oh, yes, it's very, not about very humanitarian people. Backing up Al-Qaeda. Let's talk to Pam in Indiana real quick. Pam, you're on the air. Okay, Barry in California, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you very much, Alex. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Good, good, good. I need to get off speakerphone, right?
Yeah, we got about a minute left here.
Okay. So, I have a very important question. It has several parts, so please bear with me. I'll be concise. Since listening to your radio shows, I haven't gone outside of my house, and I've had all the windows and doors closed, so I need to know the actual radiation levels here in Northern California at any given location, not the low harmless levels that the apologists in the nuclear industry are telling us, and how we can find this out for ourselves. We've ordered the KI, and we have that now. We're supposed to take 130 milligrams. It sounds like a lot. I don't know when to start taking it.
Don't take it till they, according, I'm not going to give you advice on that. Again, you've got to follow the insert, talk to your physician, but they do have radiation meters at universities and government, and they're not really giving us specific numbers. They're just saying it's low elevations, not dangerous. Dr. Bob Bowman said basically 200 times safe levels.